5.3.
When Oprah Winfrey added a book club section to her phenomenally popular American talk show back in 1996, she could surely never have envisaged the impact she would have, not only on the reading habits of the nation, but also on the publishing industry itself. Winfrey personally chose all the books she endorsed and didn't benefit financially from any of her selections. In terms of sales, endorsement by Oprah is worth anywhere between 20 and 100 times the recommendation of any other public figure in the United States, and has sufficient clout to fundamentally alter Amazon rankings, bestseller lists, and author royalty payments. Her club now boasts over 2 million members and has a website that provides tips on different approaches to reading, celebrities discussing favourite pieces of literature, and ample space for users to share their own thoughts on featured titles. In the wake of all this highly visible public enthusiasm, book clubs have started springing up everywhere. In Britain alone, there are now an estimated 40,000 reading groups, with people meeting to discuss their latest literary loves in private homes or in cafes, in libraries and bookstores, or simply online. This phenomenon has spawned such specialist gatherings as the Vegan Book Club and a socialist feminist group, as well as meetings specifically targeted at lovers of crime novels and even comics. The remarkable surge in the popularity of book clubs seems to be down to a number of different factors. Cultural commentator Rosalie Nicholson.
We live in hectic times. As we all become ever busier and ever more bombarded with an overload of information, reading groups clearly represent a craving for trustworthy recommendations. They act as a kind of filter. In addition, book clubs seem to tap into some kind of desire for community in an age of increasing social fragmentation. Ironically, it seems that the solitary activity of reading can help provide a sense of shared experience.
However, not everyone sees the trend in such a positive light. Here's critic Brian Sewer.
Let's face it, most reading groups are little more than gossiping circles, or else simply a literary guise for dating clubs. And I know from my own observations that when they do finally get round to discussing books, the discourse is generally coarse and displays limited insight or intellect. I also fear that the whole nature of the setup has created a tendency towards a certain kind of sentimental autobiographical writing, which one can only suppose must be easier for a mass audience.
Brian Sewer's opinion, though, seems to have little impact and certainly hasn't halted the spread of communal reading. Indeed, one recent book club favourite, Reading Lolita in Tehran by Azza Nafisi, details the transformational experience of reading and discussing frequently banned Western books in the Iranian capital in the 1990s. The appeal, it would seem, is universal. On top of the multitude of reading groups now thriving, other innovative projects have also been conceived. Book Crossing is a free online book club that aims to make the whole world a library. After having registered with the site, which connects users and attempts to track the movement of items donated, users are encouraged to leave books they've finished reading in public spaces, where they may then find new admirers. Seattle, meanwhile, instigated the now globally popular idea of One City, One Book, a community reading project designed to give everyone within a specific geographical location the opportunity to read and then talk about one book at one particular time. As the idea has spread, different cities have added their own twists. Bookstore talks by authors here, related arts programming there, and sometimes even integration with school curricula. The city of Liverpool went so far as to celebrate its year as European Cultural Capital by funding 20,000 free copies of the year's chosen book The Savage by David Almond.